If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 1, as we go through the book of 1 John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. That's 1 John, chapter 1. I heard Tony Evans this morning tell this story of these two frogs that were walking in the middle of the night, and they were discussing their day. As they began to walk, they fell into a pit. And it was a deep pit. And these two frogs were like, oh no, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of here? So they start jumping up and trying to get out. After about a half an hour of jumping up, they were tired. They began to start screaming and yelling for help. And their fellow frogs in the area heard the cries and walked up to the pit. And they realized, wow, these two are in trouble. This is a deep pit. And so they circled around the pit and they began to sing farewells to their friends. Farewell to the frogs because they're not going to make it. And at some point, one of the frogs gave up his ghost. He died. And the other frog just waited for his turn. But all of a sudden, the sun began to come up. And the frog that was still alive looked up and he saw all his friends around the top of the circle. And their hands were waving like this. So he began to continue to jump up and down, and he began to jump, and he jumped, and miraculously, he jumps out of this pit. And his friends say, oh my goodness, we thought you were a goner. How did you do it? We thought you were gone. We were singing farewell songs to you. He said, oh, I'm hard of hearing. I thought you guys were cheering me on. When the light came on, he thought people were cheering him on. Some of us are listening to voices in the dark that are telling us, you ain't making it. God doesn't love you. There's no way. You keep failing. You keep falling. And yet when God illuminates truth to us that we can do it with Christ, everything changes. Think about it. His handicap was a positive for him, right? He couldn't hear them praying farewells and singing farewell songs. He assumed they were cheering him on. And listen, God is cheering you on. The Spirit that dwells within you is encouraging you, speaking on your behalf. Jesus is our adversary at the right hand of God, speaking on our behalf. He is our high priest. God is on your side. He's not mad at you as we continue to talk about Romans 5, that we have peace with our Creator. God is not mad at us. Those who believe in His Son, we have access to His throne. He's on our side. He's encouraging us. And when we feel we're in a pit that we can't get out of, guess what? We can do above and beyond what we can imagine through Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, you don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, I'm sorry. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in your hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Did you hear that? God said that light, let light shine out of darkness, made in His light. May His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God and God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So if Jesus came to bring that light and to show us the glory of His Father, because listen, He says, if you have seen Me, you've seen the Father. And light has come into this dark world, but men like their sins, so they suppress the light and they stay in that darkness. But listen, for those who believe and receive the gift of eternal life, that light now is in you. And it illuminates in you, listen, what we just read, the knowledge of God's glory. And it's shown through His Son Jesus. So God, listen, God has given us a display, a picture, a presentation of His glory, His Son Jesus Christ. Jesus said, He who has seen Me has seen the Father in John 14:9. He also prayed that we would see his glory, the glory of God the Father, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. That mankind would recognize that this is the Son of God and he has come to save us from our sins. But not just that. I love in Ephesians, it says, but there's more. In Christ, we have all the blessings from the heavenly places in Christ, that he has poured his kindness and his joy into our hearts. Wow. That's a lot. It's a lot, especially when we're in darkness, living in a fallen, darkened world, but the light has come. Listen, what does light do? Light illuminates what you cannot see in the dark. So speaking on spiritual context, we were darkened because of our sin, but Jesus has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God, who God is. Listen, we don't come to church, at least here, and I pray you don't, to feel good about ourselves. I feel bad. I'm going to go to church to be lifted up. I hope you're not coming to church because I've watched a couple sermons where it's entertainment. The worship team is choreographed where they're dancing around as they're singing. And it's entertainment. I pray you're not coming here to be entertained, to feel good. I pray, listen, you're coming here to know more about God. And when we know more about who God is, we're going to feel good. It's going to happen. But my desire is to know him more, right? As he illuminates himself to us. Ravi Zacharias said the purpose of the Hebrews was idealized and symbolized by this light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light, Scripture says. And this is the light that is light in every man that comes into the world. The pursuit of the Greeks was symbolized by knowledge. That's why the biblical writers say that these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Scripture was written for all of us. Whatever your issue is, wherever you come from, whatever your culture says, it was written for you. So to the Hebrews, it's a light. To the Greeks, it's knowledge. The Romans, it was glory. The Apostle Paul, a Hebrew by birth, and a citizen of Rome living in a Greek city, had to give to them the idea of the ethic. And he says that God, who caused the light to shine out of darkness, caused his light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus our Lord. So for the Apostle Paul, the ultimate was not an abstraction, but not symbolized merely by light, not merely by knowledge, not merely by glory, but Jesus Christ himself, by his face, he showed up. Hebrews 1 says, in various times and various places, God has spoken to us through the prophets of old. But in these days, he showed up himself. He says, I'm going to do it myself. And he came. And the Messiah, the promised one, the Yeshua, has shown up to save the world. And now that light has come into the world, listen, we have hope, we have joy, we have peace in our heart. Why? We're saved. We're God's children. How do we know that, Pastor? Because Scripture tells us that those who believe have the rights to be called the sons of God. What happens in our life after we become believers? We begin to change. That old dark flesh nature of ours begins to fade away as we seek the Lord, right? We feed the Spirit and deny the flesh. And then our language changes. I don't talk like I used to talk. The way we think, I don't think the way I used to think. Where we go, I don't go the places that I used to go. Our activities, I don't do the things that I used to. Everything begins to change. Who did that? I didn't do it, but God did it in me. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we believe in him, his Spirit indwells us. And now, here's what he says. He doesn't tell me to go change the world. He doesn't tell me to do all kinds of things. Here's what he says. He says, follow me. He makes it very simple. And as I follow him, I am walking in the light. Why? He is the light of the world. And as I walk in that light, I have wisdom of who God is. I have understanding of where God's taking me. Why? The word of God, it says, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Why do I need a lamp to my feet? Well, number one, I need to know where I'm standing, right? Am I on solid ground? Is this God I'm standing on? Or am I standing in sifting sand? Is my life built upon a solid foundation? How do I know? The word will tell me. It's a lamp to my feet. It shows me where I'm at. And it's a light to my path. Why do I need a light to my path? I need to know where I'm going. And I'm following him as a light to my path. He is the word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Paul says that we have seen the very face of our Lord. And if Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for we are one. What John will now tell us about God, listen, don't miss this. John tells us about God is what God has told us about himself. In 1 John 1, we're going to read this. This is what God tells us about himself. It's not John's opinion of God. Well, I think this. You ever ask counsel of somebody? And all you hear is, well, I believe this. Well, what is that based upon? I hope it's based upon Scripture. I'd rather hear you said, well, the Word of God says this, right? And God shows us this. And here's the context of this story. God said this. I just love the illustration, Jesus' first miracle, transforming and changing the water to wine. We've gone over it before, but for this morning's encouragement, you know the story. He's at a wedding. Mary comes up and says, hey, they're out of wine. Jesus says, woman, why are you concerning me with this? He didn't come to change the water to wine, but he uses this as an illustration. Because you know the story. In that culture, it was a bad thing if you ran out of wine. Wine was symbolized as joy, peace, and God's hand upon you. If you ran out of wine, that means you didn't have joy, you didn't have peace, and you didn't have God's blessing. And so, Jesus tells the disciples to get these clay pots, and they bring the clay pots. They're empty. Now, we're clay pots. We're earthen vessels. Listen, some of us are really puffed up dirt, because that's all we are, right? We're just dust of the earth. He says to fill it with water. And then he transforms and changes that water into joy, into wine. Speaking of the empty clay pots, us being empty in our own self, being filled with the water, the living water of Christ. And now it's that water that's in us turns into the joy because it's the Spirit of God. And what happens is that everybody drinks the water or the wine, everybody benefits from it, but everybody didn't know where it came from. Only those who were close to Jesus actually saw the miracle. The whole party got to taste the wine. As a matter of fact, the head of the party shows up and says, wow, you guys are great. You saved the best wine for last. And here's what Jesus did in that miracle. And here's what I want you to capture this morning. Is that because they ran out of wine, they would be cursed as a people. Their family would be cursed. They would be looked down upon. God wasn't with them. God didn't have their hand upon them. And then Jesus shows up and he changes everything. He provides that joy. He provides that covering. And here's what they would have had. Apart from him, they would have been shamed. Jesus shows up and he covers their shame. Jesus' blood, symbolized as wine, covers our shame. Gives us that joy and that peace. That was his first miracle. And he wanted us to know that it's by him that we have the joy and the peace. And he covers our sin. He covers our shame. He showed up and did it himself. In various times, in various places, God spoke through prophets of old. In these days, he has done it through his Son. And so now John will now tell us about God, who God is, by what God has told us about himself. We can't be confident in our own opinions or ideas about God. Listen, unless they are genuinely founded on what God has said about himself. And that's in the Word of God. So listen, there's a lot of people that are believers and their life's a mess. I'll counsel them. We'll counsel 5 years from now and nothing's changing your life. What's going on? How come things aren't happening in your life? Are you going to church? Well, you know, we can't really find a place that we like. So no, the answer is no, we're not going to church. Are you reading the Bible? Well, I can't find a Bible I really like. So the answer is no. And so, but you know, but I'm not drinking or I'm not drugging. Great, you're sober, but you're on the way to hell, or you're on your way without fellowship of God and you're living a miserable life. It's the Word of God that will change our hearts. There's power in the Word. Who is the Word? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God. And so when I'm reading Scripture, there'll be convictions. Yeah, oh, I don't like that one, but Lord, you said it's not good for me, so I won't do it. And then I'll realize, thank you, Lord, for allowing me and giving me the power and showing me, drawing me away from that. I'll read the Word, Lord, I didn't know that about you. What else don't I know? How much more do you love me? How much more have you given me? What does my life look like? How do I know what to do? He tells us in Scripture. Not only does he tell us about the now, he told us about the previous, right? You once were walking in the sinful nature, but now you're in Christ. And here's what else he tells us. What happens in the very end? Forever in eternity. Where do we go? What happens? He shows us. And we rejoice in that and we have hope. So let's pick it up. 1 John chapter 1, we left off last time I taught in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard. If you have your own Bible and you like to underline or highlight, underline that word, we have heard from him. And we declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Did you hear that? Let's read it again. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So this is where we need to and we must begin in our understanding of God. John declares this is on the simple understanding that God himself is light. And light, by definition, has no darkness at all in it. For there to be darkness, there must be the absence of light. So the world at one time was absent from God because of sin, a dark place, but the light now has come in and shined. In Galatians 5:19, Paul said, now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, and he goes on, he says drunkenness, rioting, heresies, drug abuse. I don't think he used that term in the original text. And he says, and we know that they which do these things, such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that leaves me out. I sinned in one of those areas. Don't miss the context of the teaching. Okay? Because you and me and all of us at one point lived in the fleshly nature. Verse 6 in 1 John 1, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Underline, highlight, practice the truth. Practice. So John's first deals with a false claim of fellowship. So based upon this, we understand that it is possible, listen, for someone to claim a relationship with God that they do not have. And we can say that it is possible for someone to think they have a relationship with God and they do not have. Okay? So they can claim it and they can think it, but it's a lie. Many Christians are not aware of their true spiritual condition. How do we know? How do I know if I'm a true Christian? What does Scripture tell us? So they know they are saved. Perhaps they've come up and gave their life to the Lord and it was surrendered and they were going great for a season. What happened? Or they're living a lie. Well, God wants me to be happy, right? God wants you to be happy, right? He wants you to have all the blessings. So you've denied everything that God says in your life to pursue finances and money and relationships to be happy. But many Christians are not aware of the spiritual condition. They may be saved and have experienced a conversion and they have repented at some time in their life and yet they do not live in true fellowship with God. Speaking of walking in that light. And walk in darkness. It speaks of a walk in darkness, indicating, listen, a pattern of living. He's talking about those who would practice these things, not someone who would tell a lie, it slipped, I shouldn't have done that, I repent, or I watched something, or I did something, and I've repented to the Lord, and I've turned from that sin. He's not talking about that person. Who is he talking about? Those who have a pattern of walk this way. Walking is an action. To walk is an action. To stand is to stay in one place, right? So those who would have a pattern of living, this does not speak of an occasional lapse, but a lifestyle living in darkness, a pattern or a practice of sin. He says, we lie and do not practice the truth. God has no darkness at all. Therefore, if we claim to have fellowship with God, a relationship, an interest, or a sharing with the Lord, yet we walk in darkness, it's not a truthful claim. Wouldn't you agree? If that is a pattern of our life. Because listen to me. If this is you, and you just heard that message and you've been convicted, God did now erase your name from the book of life. Now, the conviction is so that you would change. Wow, that's me, Lord. I got to do something in my life because I'm not glorifying you. Your word just told me that if I'm walking in this darkness, this sinful state, that I don't have fellowship. He's not talking about salvation. Don't miss this. He's talking about fellowship with God, walking with God, communing with God, hearing God, God using you in his life. You be discerning why the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. How did that happen? Well, I've had communion with God. How does that happen? Well, I woke up and prayed, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Use me today, Father. Thank you for everything you've given me. Help me to walk with you. And now as I'm walking with the Lord, I walk out the door and somebody has a need. Hey, let me help you out with that way. Hey, what church do you go to? Here's our card. What happened? It's called communion. What is another word for communion? Fellowship. Relationship with God. So if I'm walking in that old sinful state and I've just been convicted, you got another chance now to turn around and walk in that fellowship with God. He's not mad at you. He's not, well, you know what? You're not really going to walk with me until I really see repentance. He doesn't say that. I'm really not going to forgive you until you prove to me that you've changed. Is that how he does it? What does he say? If we ask. That's the remedy. We add all that stuff. Well, I'm not going to forgive her unless she... I'm not going to forgive him unless he... No. Jesus says, forgive others as I have forgiven you. How did he forgive us? We ask, oh God, forgive me. And you may say, well, Pastor, you don't know. This person has continuously done this to me. And you don't know that every night that person goes home, they're repenting. Oh, Lord, I did it again. Forgive me. Have mercy upon me. I don't know why I respond that way. I don't know why I get angry so fast. Help me, Lord. God's not giving up on that person. God's not giving up on you. Why would you give up on that person? Right? And so we come to Scripture sometimes and I'm not going to that church, man. Every time I go there, I get clobbered with a hammer. That's a good thing, right? Because we're getting woken up. Hey, you know what? Something in my life has to be changed. You've shown me something. You've illuminated. What happened? God turned the light on. You ever hear that expression? A light went off in my head, right? It just went off. What did that mean? Illumination of truth has just entered. Wow. Something has to change. I need to be more like you, Jesus. I need to make disciples. Followers of Christ. Listen, if I'm not a follower of Christ, walking in the light, fellowship with him, how am I going to make other followers of Christ? The Christian who temporarily walks in darkness is still saved, but not in fellowship with God. So if John said this is a lie, those who say they have fellowship and walk in darkness, it means he thinks in terms of things being true or being lies. John is much too plain for our sophisticated age, which doesn't want to see anything in black and white, but everything in a pale or a shade of gray. We, that's not really sin. You know, Things have changed. We see the church doing that today, right? God wants us to love. And if we love someone of the same sex, it's okay. Scripture, we're talking about marriage. We're talking about sexual relationships with same sex. Scripture says we're not to do that. The church says, well, we need to change with the times. And so what's happening, this is happening from the leaders in the churches, same-sex marriages, allowing same-sex marriages, where God says it's not so. And you know, in Scripture, in God's eyes, a liar is just as much a sinner as a murderer. What? I thought those were white lies. Whoever said white lies, where did that come from, right? Where did that come from? So we all have sinned. And what I'm saying is we all need Jesus. Oh, Lord, we need you now more than ever. We need you to come into our hearts. And he's never left us if we're believers. We've just backed off. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And I'll give you power and the ability to walk and the ability to be transformed so that you can be used as a weapon in my hand, as a tool in his hand for the glory of the kingdom. In 2004, the governor of the state of New Jersey, he was caught in a scandal. And though he was married, he was a married man with children, he was also having a sexual relationship with a man. And the press conference he held to admit this, and he began by saying, my truth is that I am a gay American. And he was married. Those were very carefully chosen words. He says, my truth is that I am a gay American. And in thinking of the world today, I have my truth and you have your truth. But Jesus said about himself, he says, I am the truth. And the Bible clearly tells us of truth that is greater than any individual's feelings about himself. He is the truth. The truth is, apart from him, we will perish eternally. But with him, God's on our side. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can live in this joy and this peace in this fallen world. He doesn't say that he's going to necessarily change your circumstances, but he can allow you to walk above them. As Peter walked above the storm of his life, as the waves raged and the winds blew, Jesus had him walking upon the water. Your situation might change, but how you deal with it, everything changes. And people are watching you. Your kids, your relatives, your friends, they're watching you. What does your life look like? Listen, is church important to you? Do you show up every week? Because listen, if you have little kids and church isn't important to you, guess what? When they grow up, church isn't going to be important to them either. My parents went once a month. It wasn't that big a deal. Oh, if you're engaged, I would hope that your kids are going to be engaged as well. Why? You're setting an example to them to follow. You're having that relationship with the Lord. You're showing them how to live according to the ways of the Lord. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So what did that just do to you right now, that verse? What does it do in your heart? If we say we have fellowship and we walk in darkness, man, if I'm walking in darkness, I want to turn right now. I want the Holy Spirit to overwhelm me with his presence and help me to be powerful to overcome. If I'm living in a wrong state, let me get in the right state with God, right? If I'm engaging in activities that are not glorifying him, it shouldn't cause me to run away from God. It should cause me to run to God. Why? He's told me the truth. Oh, I want the truth, right? Remember Jessica Hahn, former church secretary, who had committed immoral acts with Jim Baker, the founder of the PTL Club, and later brought down the PTL empire down, and said that God gave her real peace about granting an interview with Playboy magazine and posing for topless pictures. God gave her real peace. This is what she said in an interview. And on the news reports that she still considers herself as a Christian but goes to God one-on-one, not through any church or organization. And she doesn't consider herself a bimbo, but her mother does. Now, is that someone who's deceived? She engaged a pastor in sexual relationships. He consented to it. I'm not sticking up for him. And then she poses for Playboy and says it's okay. That's a person who's deceived, right? Verse 7. Here's the contrast of verses 5 and 6, right? So hopefully we'll smile now. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the answer, right? That's what we want. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God and with one another. Do you know people that can't get along with anybody? Are you one of those people? Good morning. What do you mean by that, right? You ever meet those people? Like, you can't say anything. There's an angle. Oh, he wants something, right? Like when Facebook first came out, I said this to the church. Listen, if I ask you to friend me on Facebook, I'm not hitting on you, okay? Just so you know. There's a point. I just want a fellowship, right? Have that relationship. There's no angle. But those who can't get along with anybody, they're not walking in the light. They're not walking with Christ. Why? Well, I don't like people. You know, there's a lot of police people I knew. I'm moving up to the mountains with my shotgun. I don't want to be away from everybody, right? Really? There's no people there. We want to be where the people is because we want to help people, right? We want to love on people. We want to get people saved and make disciples. So as I have this fellowship with God, it goes this way too. I have fellowship with man. I have peace. I want to think the best of you. I'm not sitting back here, oh, that person, I don't know if he's getting in, right? Like, that's not my angle. I want to think the best of you. And I want you to think the best of me too. Even if it doesn't look good, think the best. Because I want to have that fellowship. I want to have that relationship with you. But how much of a friend would I be to tell you everything's okay in your life when you're going down the tubes? Would I be a real friend? Like, you think some of these frogs would have said, hey, let's get a vine and go down and help our buddies. They were all on the edge of the circle, you know, saying adios, right? Who needs friends like that? I want fellowship with people around me that are going to help me grow. And if I'm doing something wrong, I want to know about it. And if I always, now in the beginning you may challenge that. Well, what do you mean? But if I'm always defending myself, then I have a problem, right? My father was sarcastic. It was funny in his eyes, but not in my mother's. And I picked that up. And I used to be sarcastic all the time. And my wife used to say, that's not funny. And I ignored her for many years, but after a while, after we got saved, because we weren't saved all our marriage, she said, that's not funny. And I have to check myself. You know what? Oh, I'm sorry. And it took a while, and I'm still working on it. But there's some things in our life we need to take a check. You know what? That's not good. Let's get rid of that. I got this from my parents. That's good. I'll hang on to that. But I also got this. Well, that's not good. Let me get rid of that. Same thing, people around you. Are they helping you grow? Are people around you helping you grow? Or they're like Eeyore. Boom, boom, boom. Right? It's dark and cloudy. Oh, boy. Who wants to be around those people? We want to be around people who are going to encourage us. Now, I'm not saying we won't engage those people to encourage them. But listen, if they're bringing you down, if they're not encouraging you and who you are in Christ and helping you out, if they're pointing fingers, look at you, you did it again, they're not on your side. Ever be around someone where something happens good in your life and you begin to tell them about it and they're like, well, that never happens to me. One time I did this and that. Well, I'm sorry I told you, right? You don't care about me. That happens all the time. God's on our side. And so there may be some issues that stab your heart in church spiritually like a knife. Oh, I'm convicted. But it shouldn't cause you to run away. It should cause you to clean up, right? Like if somebody says, hey, you smell like BO, what would you want to do, right? You want to go shower, right? I'm just saying, hey, we're adults here. Your life stinks. I want to clean up my life, right? I don't want to smell. I don't want to be a bad example of God. I don't want to embarrass the church, myself, and Christ. My life, I want to clean it up. And if God convicts me with something in the Word, come back next week. You might get convicted again. But here's what will happen. After a while, there won't be that conviction. Why? Because you've cleaned up your life. So somebody says, hey, somebody smells in here. You know it's not you. Why? You showered. as an illustration, right? You've cleaned up your life. So when the conviction of the word comes, doesn't apply to me, I'm good. I'm not walking in that sinful state of my life. I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, right? Does that make sense? And I'm okay because now I have peace with God. I've cleaned up my life. How? By going to the Lord. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from our sin. There's a reward for walking in the light. He continues to cleanse us of our sin. C.S. Lewis said, the gospel means we can stop lying to ourselves. The sweet sound of amazing grace saves us from the necessity of self-deception. It keeps us from denying that through Christ we are victorious. The battle with lust, greed, and pride still rages within us. Listen, those of you who say everything's perfect in my life, you're a liar, because it's not. You still struggle. There's a battle. Things happen in your life. You may be good today, but tomorrow's another day. And Scripture says, don't be prideful in your walk with the Lord, because that's when you're going to fall, because you think you got it together, right? So each and every day, oh, Lord, we need you now. We need you more than ever. It keeps us from denying that through Christ, we can be victorious. As a sinner who has been redeemed, I can acknowledge that I have often unloving, irritable, angry, resentful. C.S. Lewis is saying this. I'm reading this, so I'm not saying this is me. With those closest to me. Listen, we can do that, right? We can agree that we're not perfect. And we can agree, listen, the word is convicting sometimes, but make it cause you to act for God and yourself, not run from God and deny yourself thinking you're still walking right, right? So when I go to church, I can leave my white hat at home and admire I have failed. God not only loves me as I am, but also knows me as I am. Because of this, I don't need to apply spiritual cosmetics. Again, this is C.S. Lewis saying this. I don't need to apply spiritual cosmetics to make myself presentable to him. I can accept ownership of my poverty and powerlessness and needlessness to him, right? I don't have to put on spiritual cosmetics in front of God. He knows me. And he's the only one that really counts. And so we walk in the light because that is where he is. He stands because he is the light. If we do that, the results are we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Christ Jesus. His son cleanses us from all our sin. And so there are many people who can't get along with others we've talked about. James Parker wrote what it meant by fellowship in this verse. Is it gossip? Is it a cup of tea or tours? No. What it is referred to something of quite different order on a quite different level. Fellowship with God is walking with God. Once again, it's not coming to church to be entertained. It's coming to as we open up in praise and worship, we're lifting our hands and singing to God. We're lifting up our hearts, worshiping him for who he is. And then we're coming before the Lord in prayer, and now we're feeding upon the word of God, and it's penetrating our hearts. We need to do something with it, right? We need to act upon what God has given us. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 47, you don't have to turn there once again. I'll read it. We see true Christian fellowship in verse 42 through 47, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which was the word of God, and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among themselves as anyone had need. Why did they do that? Why did they sell all their possessions and all their things and they gave to one another? Because listen, if you were a Christian in those days, you were an outcast. Paul was a big shot. Not anymore. No one wants to hire him. No one wanted anything to do with him. And so they couldn't get employed. So what they did is they sold all their stuff to take care of one another. Verse 46 and 47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity in their heart, praising God and having favor with all people. There's right there, praising God and having favor with all people. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship with one another. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So they met constantly and they studied the scriptures and they had that fellowship with one another. The person who's not in fellowship with the Father and the Son is no Christian at all. Again, we're not talking about backsliding, but we're talking about those who have totally rejected the message of the gospel. The Arabs believe that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he's not the God of Jesus. Jesus isn't his Son. And if we have the Son, we have eternal life. If we don't have the Son, we don't have eternal life. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, boom, there we go. What do we got to do? We talked about acting upon, right? Well, I've been convicted. I've walked in this sinful state for so long. God forgive us, right? If we confess our sins, why should I confess my sins? Because he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Okay, so I confess. I've been convicted. I confess. He is faithful to forgive. And here's what he does. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so the way of cleansing doesn't come by a denial. The way of forgiveness isn't a way of denial, but it's confessing, Lord, I have sinned. And I want to close with this illustration, the story. Dr. Finney was an American Presbyterian minister and a leader in the Second Great Awakening in the United States. And he has been called the father of modern revivalism. He tells us the story that in one big city in the East, as he left with a major revival meeting, when he finished and he left, that they had to close all the bars in the towns because of their lack of patrons. Their lives changed. People weren't going to the bars. They went out of business. It's kind of like when Jesus cast out the demons in the two men. They went into the swine and the swine ran off the cliff and committed suicide, right? And the town people wanted Jesus out. Why? He just messed up their industry, right? Sometimes coming to Christ may change things financially in your life. Anyway, so powerful was the city stirred up with the gospel of Christ. And in one of these, as Finney was walking up to the church steps, a man stopped him and said, I want to talk to you after church tonight. May I? And Dr. Finney said, yes. I'm glad to meet with you after church and talk with you. So as he came to the top of the steps, the deacons and the elders in the church said to him, what did that man say to you? Dr. Finney said, well, he wanted to talk with me after service. And they said, don't you know who that man is? He said, no. And they said, well, that man is one of the worst men in the city. He's horrible. And he just dared to go with him. And he has hired killers and all the... He probably has it in for you, and he's going to take you out as well. So after the service, the deacons met with him again and said, you're not going to meet with that man, are you? And he said, well, yes, I am. I said I would, and I will. And when they gave, I gave the man my word. And so the man met with him and led him down a steep stairwell into an alley, into a back door of a building. And as Finney went in, he turned around, and the man locked the door behind him. Sit down, the man said. Finney sat down, and the man pulled a gun out of his desk, and he laid the gun on the desk, and he said, I've heard you say something last night, and I want to know if it's true or not. And Finney said, well, what did you hear me say? And he said, you said that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse me from all sin. He said, no, I didn't say that. God said that in his word. And he said, wait a minute, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. And he said, well, you are behind a bar, and we have an illegal gambling room here, and the gambling devices are fixed, and I've taken the last dollar from many men, and they've gone out and committed suicide. And you mean God could forgive me of that? And Finney said, all I can tell you is what the Bible says, that the blood of Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all our sin. And he said, well, wait a minute. That's not the whole story. He said, I own the bar out front. And he said, men will come in and they will drink. And their wives will come in rags. And their children with no shoes on their feet. And they would beg me not to sell booze to their husband. And I would throw the wives out in the street and tell their husbands booze until they ran out of money. And then I'd kick them out too. And Finney said, the Bible says that the blood of Christ God the Son can cleanse me from all the sin. And the man said, that's not the whole story. He said, the gun, I've killed several people and I've gotten in my way, and I've hired men to kill others and I've paid them to kill. And you mean God will forgive me of that? And here's what he said, and I can tell you what the Bible says. And he says, wait a minute, across the street in that big brown house over there, he said, I have a wife and a beautiful little child. He said, I haven't said a decent word to my wife in over 16 years. I've been miserable. I've been mean. And he said, the other day when my little child comes running up, I pushed her away into the stove and she got burned, seriously. I have never told a little girl that I love her. You mean God could forgive me of that? And at this point, Finney stood up and he grabbed him and he began to shake him and said, young man, you've told me about as horrible a story as I have ever heard or could ever dream. And he said, if it was up to me, I don't know that I would forgive you. But all I can tell you is what the Bible says, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse a man from his sins. And he said, that's all I want you to know, and thank you. So he went over and he unlocked the door. You could find your way out. And Finney left. The next morning, as the sun was coming up, he was walking from the bar over to his home. And when he came into the house, his wife was in the kitchen with his daughter, and he went upstairs to the bedroom. And so the mother said, go tell your daughter, or go tell your father that breakfast is ready. And so she ran up, and halfway up the stairs, she called and said, Daddy, Mommy said breakfast is ready. And he answered, sweetheart, tell your mommy that Daddy doesn't want breakfast this morning. The little girl came up running back down into the kitchen and said, Mommy, Daddy said that he didn't want breakfast, and he called me sweetheart. And the mother said, honey, you must be mistaken. Go up and tell him again that breakfast is ready. And again, she ran halfway up the stairs and said, Daddy, Mommy said that breakfast is ready. And he said, come here, honey. And she went over to him, and he picked her up and sit her on his lap, and he began to tell her how much he loved her. With that, the mother, of course, wondering where the daughter had gone upstairs, standing in the door, saw him holding his little daughter in his lap for the first time. With tears coming down her cheeks, she said, come over here, honey. He said, I found out something last night that is the greatest thing that I have ever heard. And he said, it's true. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse a man from all sin. And he closed the bar and he began to be a benefactor to the community, and he changed by the power of Jesus Christ. So no matter what the past is, no matter how black or bleak the gospel of Jesus holds out hope for all, all of you to confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so the transformation that has brought in our lives, listen, the transformation that has come in our lives is the same story. Oh, it might not be as dark and bleak as that man, but I once was living in a dark sin just like you were. And Jesus Christ knocked on my heart and I believed in him. And his spirit then entered into my soul. And now I walk in that power of his spirit, not mine. And as I walk in the power of his spirit, because I can deny his spirit and walk in my flesh. But as I walk in the power of his spirit, listen, I have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ cleansed me from all my sin. Amen.